come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, he's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Get no punch. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to talk to us online via social media. John Schmelk, Paul Dottino with you for the next 1 hour. Talk some Giants NFL football. We'll take your calls all show long at 201-939-4513. I mentioned your questions on Twitter as well. And Paul, after a quiet second week of OTAs, not a whole lot of news really broke. I thought there was a lot that Tom Coughlin and some of the players said yesterday that was very, very interesting. And I guess we'll start with Corey Washington, because we haven't heard a lot about Washington since the exhibition season last year. And Tom Coughlin spoke about him this year, and he was really effusive in his praise in terms of the amount of progress he's made since last season, how much better he's played. Eli Manning said likewise. And then what I was most impressed with was what Corey Washington had to say, you know, because some of the reporters tried to set him up.
Yes.
You know, that's what media reporters do. They said, well, were you upset about last year? Did you understand why you didn't play? You know, hoping that he'd come out and say, well, you know what? I didn't understand it. I thought it was nonsense I didn't play. I thought I was ready. I thought I got gypped. You know what he came out and said? You know what? I'm from a small school. I don't know a whole lot. I didn't know the route tree, and I had to learn to become better at my craft before I could earn my way on the field. And you know what? Good for Corey Washington. That's what we were trying to tell you all year last year on this show. He got it, and I think he's growing, and everyone else is recognizing that he's growing, and maybe he'll have a chance to slip onto this roster once again.
The fact that he answered the questions that way told me a lot, and not just because it was a mature way to answer them, but you remember last year during camp, he said something to the effect like, I can't wait to go up against Richard Sherman.
I don't remember that. Did he say that?
Not the smartest thing to do when you're an undrafted free agent rookie. But Corey Washington this time said that the biggest key and the one thing that he learned from his rookie season, I think the word was patience, John. I think that was the word that he said. Patience. Understanding that, you know what? He came a long way from a Division II school to make the Giants roster. And we talked about this. There are levels that guys have to go through. And from where he came from, the first goal was make the roster. Not just the practice squad, but if you can make the 53, that's awesome.
Yep.
But now there are more steps to go and more work to be done. So, yes, I agree with you. The other thing, though, that you want to be very careful about here is that even though Tom Coughlin praised his attitude, his mentality, and his production this spring as a receiver, Tom did not address his special teams.
Well, he was asked about it, too, and Tom was kind of like, well, we really haven't seen him or asked him to do much of that yet. And here's the trick, and this was my next point, Paul. Your segue was perfect. Right now, you can basically chisel in stone the four wide receivers that we know for sure are going to be on this roster.
Yes.
Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham, Reuben Randall, Dwayne Harris. Those
done.
Four guys are on this roster, done, finito, complete. Okay?
Yes.
Now, this is where it gets interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Are you assuming the Giants are keeping six wide receivers, considering the depth of this group?
Again, I think that's going to come down to injuries at other positions. I don't think the fifth and sixth receivers are competing against themselves, John. I think they're competing against potential injury depletions at other positions. And honestly, I think that's the best answer I can give you, because we have seen how this team has lost guys in the past, and we know even going into this summer, I don't care about John Beeson saying he feels great today and he feels like he could start the season. You don't know for sure if he's going to make it through training camp. So I'm not sold on five or six yet. Let me hedge on that, if that's okay with you. I'm not giving you a final number.
Okay. Well, let's assume six, just for our sake of argument today, okay?
Okay.
So you gotta
won't be more than six.
It will not be more than six. So you got to fit two more guys on this roster, and here are the guys you consider for those roster spots, okay? Number one, Preston Parker. I bring him up as the first guy because he was productive last year. He was a steady contributor for all 16 games as a receiver. So that's choice number one.
And does play specials.
And does play specials. Choice number two, the guy we've been talking about, Corey Washington. On the active roster last year, wasn't always active on game day. In fact, I think was inactive more often than he was active for most of the year. And the issue we have with him is special teams. He doesn't contribute much in that area. But he's a bigger guy. As Eli said yesterday, last year he was very good on fly patterns, fade patterns, post patterns. But it's the other stuff. It's the slants. It's the crosses. It's the timing stuff in the short to mid-range game, which, by the way, is so important in Ben McAdoo's system that he's still trying to get better at. So that's the trick with Corey Washington, number two. Mm-hmm. Then you get down into the other guys. Marcus Harris is a guy that I thought was outplaying Preston Parker during the early parts of training camp last year before he got injured. Is he in the mix? Julian Talley's been hanging around for a very long time. Is he finally going to break through? Kreiner's a young player that's around. Edwards is the small wide receiver that's around. You have Harper, the wide receiver that's around. So those are the other guys. But I would think if you get to six.
Don't forget about Jeremy Davis.
And Jeremy Davis, the rookie. How could I forget about Jeremy Davis? You're absolutely right. And you would, I'm not going to put him in stone, but you would think as a draft pick this year that he would have a pretty good chance of making the roster.
Well, throw in the fact that he is a very eager and willing special teams participant.
Now, hasn't done it yet.
Hasn't done it yet.
He's willing to do it.
That gives him a feather up on the other guys.
You're absolutely right. So I would think those last two spots are going to go to two of the four guys. If I had to guess, now maybe I'm going to be wrong. Who knows? Marcus Harris, Preston Parker, Corey Washington, Jeremy Davis. And I think out of those four, the guy that I would say is most likely to be on the roster at the end of the year is Jeremy Davis.
Right. And so that would bring you up to five.
I'm not going to say Davis is a shoo-in, though. If things go horribly for him in camp, I don't think it's a guaranteed roster spot.
Understood. And injuries, of course.
And injuries, of course.
Could play a factor here.
Sure.
But you would think he probably has the inside track on the five on the basis that he is a rookie.
Yes.
And the Giants were very glad to get him.
Agreed.
They thought about, Chris Mara admitted in the Jenny Vrentis article, they seriously considered taking him in round five and then wound up getting him in round six.
I did not see that.
Yes. So you have to believe that they like him. Now, if they go six, well, now you're talking about the other fellas you mentioned in that cluster competing for one spot. And that's if they go six. So it's a very tenuous situation here. Guys like Corey Washington and Preston Parker have to make the most of every snap they get, not just in practice, but also in OTAs and the preseason and training camp, and make sure that they're passing the exams in the film study room when Coach Coughlin hands out those pop quizzes. Bottom line is, there's going to be great competition on the back end of that receiving depth chart. And, John, what do we always say? That's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Best man win.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin loves it, and it gives these guys motivation to, quite frankly, be better than one another. They work harder because they're trying to make the team. And then if you want to go a step further, Paul, to me, that helps your defensive backs play better. Because you got wide receivers playing for their lives, and all of a sudden these defensive backs are playing against guys that are going 1,000% trying to win a job, and that makes them better players.
I would agree with that totally. And I will say this, and you'll remember Corey Washington was my dark horse pick last year, going all the way back to rookie minicamp. So let me make something very clear to everybody out there. You know I am a Corey Washington fan. I do like his skill set a lot. I do think he can play in the National Football League. But, folks, I'm also going to make one thing very clear. If he does not earn a spot on the 53, it won't be because somebody held something against him. It will be because he did not take advantage of the opportunity that was here in front of him and that he did not do everything he had to do to win a spot on the 53.
Final question on the wide receivers before we move on to the next spot I want to touch on based off what Tom Coughlin, the player, said yesterday. If they keep the six wide receivers,
okay,
do both the fifth and sixth wide receivers, do both of them have to be major special teams contributors? Or maybe one of them doesn't have to be because your fourth guy, Dwayne Harris, is such a big special teams guy.
I think he's got to show you something on specials. A major contributor?
Because remember, last year, Corey Washington is on the 53. He's the sixth wide receiver. He didn't give you a whole lot on specials. So it did happen last year.
And they were hoping to upgrade that production, and that's why they drafted Jeremy Davis.
And that's why they signed Dwayne Harris.
Right.
But by drafting him and signing Harris, you already have two major. Again, Harris, we know, is a good special teams contributor. We think Jeremy Davis could eventually do it. since you have those two guys already in that wide receiver team, do you need to have a third guy in that position who would be a big-time contributor?
Here's what I'll say to you, John, and it's a great question. It should be the question of the day, maybe.
I think I just made it that.
I think you did. It's really good. Because here's the thing. I think the guy's got to be able to give you something, whether it's going to be in kick coverage or help out in the return game, even if it's one of the guys up front in the return game, if he can help do something. I think he's got to give you something. I don't think he can be a zero on special teams. However, if the Giants have upgraded specials with the likes of a JT Thomas, who I think is going to play some of that at linebacker, I think he's also going to play some specials. I think Michael Thompson, the safety out of Texas, is going to wind up being a really good special teams player. At least he's got the body type and the skill set for it. If they get that kind of production out of those other newcomers, then I think you're right, John, that the number six receiver doesn't have to be a special teams demon. He's got to show he can do something. But I do think the Giants may have upgraded themselves in so many other positions that will help on special teams that the necessity isn't there. So I'm going with you there. I think that's a good question.
One tweet on this subject, Mike Marcinetti at Mikey Joe Drum. With this height, is Washington being groomed to be Eli's go-to in the red zone wide receiver for that fade pass? Well, you don't have a go-to red zone guy. You're going to have your starting wide receivers out there, like Cruz and Beckham. You're not taking Randall off the field, so Washington can be brought in the game. That being said, Washington, when speaking to the media yesterday, did say he was getting a lot of run in their red zone. In their green zone packages. My fault.
Yes.
And he's giving more opportunities in that area. So I think we will see him in those spots more than we saw him last year when he is, in fact, active, simply off of what Corey Washington said yesterday. We'll see if that comes to fruition.
Yeah, he was making it pretty clear that that was the role he was looking at based on what he's had during the spring workouts.
Yeah.
But remember one thing here, too. Part of the reason, and I know Coach Coughlin's happy with how he's looked in the offense, but part of the reason he's getting those reps is because Beckham is sitting out with a bit of a tweaked hamstring, and Victor Cruz is coming back from knee surgery. So you've got a bunch of balls that would have been going to those guys that they're force-feeding Corey Washington. He's getting first-team reps, not because he deserves them. He's getting them by default right now. Now, again, it's good that he's being productive with them, and he and Eli are getting along great, and Coach likes what he sees. But understand, Corey Washington did not seize these reps. They were kind of given to him by circumstance, and now it's up to him to see what he does with them.
And let me just say one more thing about the wide receivers. And you know me, no one's more cautious about saying, oh, this guy's going to be back, he's going to do this and that and this and that. For a guy coming off a serious knee injury and less than 12 months off that injury, heck, only, let's see, 8 months off that injury, Victor Cruz looks awfully good.
I know. He's got me wavering, John.
And, Paul, you know me. I always say wait and see, you know, let him. Now, he hasn't had any contact yet. Does he have any contact this time of year? He hasn't gone against defenders yet. We haven't gotten to that point yet, and that's, I think, the final step before he's ready. But, boy, in terms of moving around in free space, I wouldn't have known the guy was hurt. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's scary. The other day, I think when I was doing the show with Anita, she said to me, you know, this is just, it's unheard of for someone to come back at a skill position from this particular injury. And that's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of doctors over the last couple of months. They said this could be worse than an ACL.
To which my answer was, well, I guess there's always a first.
I guess there is. And you know what? Adrian Peterson defied all the odds at running back. Why can't Victor do that at wide receiver? And he's certainly a hard enough worker and a good enough athlete to do it.
And that's the one caveat I put on this. As much as I want to be conservative and I want to be so cautious with this guy, because I'd like to see his career go on for years to come.
And trust me, the team is going to be cautious and conservative.
Oh, yes, they are.
Absolutely.
But as I've said in the last week or two, Victor Cruz has me wavering because I thought better than 50-50 chance he starts the season on PUP. I'm starting to think, based on the way he's running around like a jackrabbit out there, that this guy may actually play week one against the Cowboys.
And frankly, simply based on the cautiousness we've talked about and the caution, I still don't think you'll probably see him the first week of training camp. You're probably still not going to see him.
No.
And frankly, if it does in fact happen and they scrimmage against Cincinnati in that second week, if you think they're putting Victor Cruz out there in a live scrimmage, you're out of your mind. That's not happening. That's kind of risky. So that means no first preseason game.
Right.
And likely they'll want him in practice for more than a week before he plays in a game. So
right.
Probably no second preseason game. So I would mark that third preseason game against the Jets where I think Cruz will get his first snaps.
I don't even know if he'll get snaps. They might just work him into regular practice. He
Maybe.
May not even play the game.
We'll see. We'll see.
But bottom line, yeah. He's starting to make somewhat of a believer out of us, Sean.
No question about it. All right, guys, let's get to the calls. We've got a bunch of other topics, but we have a stacked lines here. It looks like people are into the wide receiver stuff, so let's get to it and go to Abdul in Minneapolis first. Abdul, what's going on?
Hey, guys. First thing, I want to talk about yesterday's question because I couldn't call in. Then I'll get back to the receivers. Yesterday's question is about who would be the most impactful back, and I think pretty much hands down will be Shane Vereen. And not because he'll score the most touchdowns or have the most yardage. I think he'll make the offense less predictable. You know, I think you'll be able to use him on first down, so not be always running on first down. It's all also dependent on how creative the offensive coordinator will get with him. I think in the past few years, due to injury and just due to lack of creativeness, you know, for lack of a better word, we've been pretty predictable with our play calling. And, you know, we've had that dreaded, you know, delayed draw play on a 3rd and 5. God knows how many times I throw my socks at the TV. But I think with Shane Vereen, if he's used the right way and he's in on first down, on second down, if he's in with the other backs and, you know, they split him out wide, the Giants will really put the defense on their heels because they won't know what's coming at them. They won't know if they're going to run or pass, and I think that's what an offense wants to do.
Well,
they want
Abdul,
to be less predictable.
Abdul, let me say this. You already have a mismatch outside no matter who's covering Odell Beckham Jr. You're going to have to send two guys after
right.
him. And if Cruz is 100% healthy, you might have to shade somebody over there too. That means you're going to be able to mm-hmm. match up, more than likely, Shane Vereen up on a linebacker. That is a
right.
– not going to say a guaranteed win. That is a 75% matchup where you're going to be able to get him into space and not just catch a 4 or 5 yard pass. I'm talking about circle mm-hmm. routes, wheel routes, run after the catch,
yeah,
beating guys
I agree.
Down the field. He could be a big-time playmaker, absolutely.
That's why I think he'll have the most impact as any running back coming in. So that was yesterday. I think the question I have today about the receivers, I don't know them too well. It seems like we have a lot of outside receivers. You know, I don't know how many receivers we have besides Victor Cruz and the guy who played yesterday, Parker.
Preston Parker,
who's
right.
more of a slot.
Marcus
yeah.
Harris can play the slot a little bit. Marcus Harris can play the slot, and you know what? I know fans aren't maybe be surprised by this. I think you're going to see Odell Beckham work in the slot a little bit this year, too.
Yep,
with
yep.
his dynamic quickness,
can
I can see them getting
exactly.
some matches from
inside. Wants. But when it comes down to the 5th or 6th receiver at the end of the day, when you kind of square around your 53, will that play a part of who makes it? Because Washington, who I love Washington, he seems like a really, you know, great, promising young receiver. But will we have enough guys to play the outside? And maybe we might have need some more guys to go in, you know, in the slot and, you know, get some balls going across the middle. Maybe that will have an impact of who we'll get.
You know, the one thing that I've noticed about Coach McAdoo is that he does want all the receivers to learn all three spots.
And we actually saw Ruben
okay.
Randall playing the slot last
yeah.
week at practice. I thought it was interesting. By the way, Dwayne Harris has played the slot for Dallas, too. So he's
yes,
another
he
guy
has.
That can dip inside yeah. if you need him.
So, I mean, my
has
feeling...
Has Washington done that? Has Washington...
I have not seen him there yet.
A deep fade route. That's all I've seen so far.
I have not seen him there yet.
No, but he himself said yesterday that he certainly would do it.
Mentally he's getting the reps. I haven't seen it on the field
right.
yet.
The point is, though, okay. that Coach McAdoo wants all of them to learn all of the spots. The Giants play
right.
with the receivers like they play with their offensive linemen. They demand versatility. Look,
right.
obviously in this day and age in the league, it's important. I honestly don't believe that will be a factor in who the number 5 and number 6 receivers
okay.
are. I really don't. I think the special right. teams thing is going to be more important.
Yeah, and I think the okay. beauty of it, Abdul, the reason, and thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. The reason I don't think it's going to play a huge factor is because the guys in the top of your depth chart are so versatile. Cruz can go in there.
Yeah.
Beckham can go in there. Harris can go in there. Like I said, we saw Ruben Randall even as that maybe not prototypical side-to-side, short, quick, fast slot guy. There are slot guys that are big and physical. I mean,
well,
we saw Jason Avant do that for years in Philadelphia that – you know, you use your body to separate yourself from those smaller slot corners. I mean, just look at Brandon Boykin. Orlando Scandrick,
right.
Two of the slot corners in the Giants division, those guys don't reach 6 feet.
No.
So if you put a 6'2", 6'3", guy in there, you can run those little slant routes all day.
There is that alternate viewpoint that the
correct.
Slot guy should just be a gigantic mismatch against the other team's slot corner. Don't forget, too, the Giants are not adverse to standing up their tight end in the slot.
And Larry Donnell can do that, absolutely.
So they've got a lot of different guys they can put there. So
and
I can't see that being the determining factor.
You know who else I think we're going to see in the slot this year? Shane Vereen.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He could definitely do that. There's no question about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen him during OTAs motion out of the backfield and getting that slot spot.
Yeah, so don't worry about slot receiver being a position that they've got to fill with depth. They got plenty of different guys they can rotate around.
Let's go to Rayvon in Virginia. Rayvon, you're up next. What's going on, bud?
Oh, how y'all doing?
Doing well, Ray. What's up?
Good, good. I really don't have any comments or concerns as far as the wide receivers. I think we have a nice group of wide receivers, basically. We have a lot of depth. The one comment that I did want to make was in regard to a lot of the Giants fans and their concerns about the team.
Okay.
Basically, I have no concerns with where the team is going and, you know, how we're doing as far as the personnel that we have. Hold on.
It's all right, Rayvon. Go ahead. We hear you.
Rayvon, and by the way, while he gets himself squared away.
I'm sorry. I got a little nervous.
That's all right.
The Twitter coming from outside, the official Giants Twitter from practice, says Shane Vereen has just caught a touchdown pass from Ooh. Ryan Nassib. Just to fill that in.
That makes me feel a lot better.
I know you. Right, I knew you'd like that.
Basically, you know, we don't really need to worry as much as I think we need to worry. We have a lot of pieces in place. There's a reason why we have players like Victor Cruz, undrafted. There's a reason why we have players like Kevin Boss, O.C. Umenyor, later on in the rounds.
Well, O.C. was a two.
Number 12.
O.C. was a two.
They do their due diligence, you know, doing their homework and getting these players. So I'm pretty, you know, confident that the product that we're going to put on the field basically will be good enough to go out, and I think we'll get 10 wins this year. And pretty much, I go Giants. I appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate the call, Rayvon. Thanks, man.
All right.
A lot to be determined over the course of training camp. And, of course, not only are there battles for some of these positions we're talking about, John, but health is just such an important part of what the Giants want to do. By the way, in talking about health, just to mention, Cooper Taylor has been getting a lot of extra reps at safety because we continue to worry about Nat Burhey.
Calf.
His calf injury, which has kept him out of these workouts. Tom Coughlin obviously wants to see the young guy in there because he got a leg up on the competition by playing some snaps last year and also playing on specials. From what I understand, you know, Nat doesn't think it's that much of a long-term injury. But nonetheless, you know, time's running a bit short now. We are into June, as John reminded me last week. The calendar's starting to move.
Well, it feels like it today. 80 and humid. You much love it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 90 on Thursday.
The humidity I could do without, but I like the 80. All right? I'm a little fussy. But
you are a little fussy. You are high maintenance. We all knew that already.
Yeah, okay. In any event, you know, before you start predicting wins and losses for this team, there's a long way to go till we get to September 13th. So, you know, let's not get too hog wild crazy with the predictions at this point, other than to say the Giants look like they've improved their team since last year. They're a better team today than they were in January. I think that's pretty much a certainty. How much better? I don't know. I can tell you that right now.
201-939-4513. And Coach did say yesterday he didn't criticize Nat Burhey because, look, you want the guy to be healthy, but he did say these are valuable reps that he could be getting on the field, and just in terms of mental reps, because he wasn't, frankly, out there in the secondary a whole lot last year, and anything he can get visually, especially in a new defense, classroom work is great, but it's a lot more useful when you can take what you learn in the classroom and put it out there on the practice field.
That goes without saying, but here's what I will say, John. I thought that Coach was more frustrated by being asked about Burhey for the 75th time than he was with the player.
I think that's probably true.
You know?
The only thing that was more frustrating was asking about JPP for the 175th time.
Yes.
That's correct.
I mean, and Coach went through this for about 785 times with Beckham last year. And we saw how that grated on his nerves as well.
Well, Coach loves talking about injuries. It's like his favorite thing to do.
He really used to give me the evil eye.
No, dude.
You
got the stink eye more than anybody else. He would literally go to the podium, give you the little, go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I know. Yep. What I finally learned.
201-939-4513. Derek's in Atlanta next. Derek, what's up, bud?
Hello.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Derek.
Hey, I'm going to talk real fast because I got a couple of things.
Yeah.
But first I'd like to say, I know this is about the Giants, but I just wanted to give a shout-out to Serena Williams because I watched her win a 20th major title this weekend. And in the second set, she was serving for the match and got broken. Then in the tiebreaker, lost. And then the first two games of the third set, she went 0-2, the go down 0-2. And then, like a champion does, she refocuses and then wins six straight games to win her 20th title. So I just want to give her a shout out.
Yeah, Derek, you know what? The funny thing about Serena Williams, I had the sense about her about 7 or 8 years ago that she would get distracted a little bit from some of her outside interests and retire prematurely. You know, she was all into the fashion and stuff like that, which is great. That's reason too. That's fantastic. But I've been really impressed how she's really refocused on the sport. And I think she's, what, one or two majors away from passing Steffi Graf for most major championships.
She's right
so
up there.
I give her a ton of credit. I think her attitude's much better than it used to be. And she's doing a heck of a job. And she's just dominating the tour.
And her age, how fit she is. I think like several of her last few games and the win that championships, she went three sets each time. So
she is a big, strong girl, absolutely.
And let me say this, and I don't think it's a reach, John. If there was a true women's professional football league, she'd be the number one overall pick. Right?
Yeah, but she is beautiful anyway.
All right, go ahead, Derek.
Let me just say that I think there could be seven wide receivers that stay on this roster.
Wow.
And let me tell you how I get in.
Yeah.
That cost the first four, right? And I think the fight on this roster is going to be between Sue Harris and Preston Parker. Okay? I think those two are actually fighting for a position. And I think if Harris has the same kind of camp as he did last year before he got hurt, I think he's going to win out because of his age. He's younger than Preston Parker. I think that Corey Washington is going to make this roster, especially if he shows anything like he showed in preseason last year. And I think Nassib is getting better, so I think he has a really good opportunity to show off his skills. But I also think Jeremy Davis is going to make the roster, not as particularly a wide receiver, but a special teams guy.
Well, Derek,
almost like Zach Diotti did when he used to play, or he was listed as maybe a linebacker or something.
Right.
But he really was a special teams guy.
So, okay, Derek, here's my question for you, though. If you're keeping seven wide receivers, where are you losing a guy? Are you only keeping three running backs? Or are you only keeping two tight ends? Where are you finding that extra roster spot?
Well, we're only keeping two quarterbacks.
They only kept two quarterbacks last year, though, too, Derek.
Yeah, okay. There may be a spot that's opening like Herzlich's, he might be fighting for a roster spot this year. So it might be in a linebacker.
Wait a minute. They're going to keep at least five linebackers, maybe six. I mean,
no,
if
it's
you
probably
want
going
to
be five then if
I
you're talking
five.
Six with
right.
Herzlich.
If you want to, and this is not something that I advocate, and I don't think the Giants will, but if you want to, you could eliminate the fullback position if you think your tight end position is so strong and you've got a really good blocker there. You could do that.
I think Hanoski's safe.
I'm not doing it. But if it's me, I'm not doing it. And I don't think the Giants will do it.
And I think you have to keep Nate off.
I mean, defensive tackle spot. Maybe there's a spot in there maybe you can get rid of, out of that rotation. You might be able to cut one of the guys there. And don't be surprised if not all these safeties make it on the team too. We may be able to get a squeeze a spot out of the safety.
See, but if they do that, if they slice one of the safeties and go with three safeties, I bet you it's because they keep an extra corner. They're not going to keep an extra receiver.
Yeah, Derek, here's the thing.
At the expense of a safety.
I agree with your theory. I think there's enough talented guys on the roster to keep seven. I think there are seven NFL quality caliber wide receivers in camp right now. I think that's absolutely true. I'm just not sure that I can figure out the numbers game to squeeze that seventh guy in the roster. What else you got on the offensive line, Derek?
Offensive line, I wanted to talk about if you, you know, maybe it won't happen, but I've been kind of tooting my horn hoping that this would happen. My lineup for the regular season start would be Flowers, Mosley, Richburg, Swartz, and Pugh. What do you guys think about that?
You have Swartz at left guard and Pugh at right tackle.
No. Mosley, Flowers at left tackle.
Right.
Mosley at
right.
left guard.
Left guard, and you got Pugh at right tackle. I heard what you said. I'm incredulous.
Why?
Because based on what we saw last year when Mosley had ample opportunity, they practically force-fed him into the starting lineup, and he couldn't hold it.
But it wasn't injured? Remember the year before when
he had two years of injury prior to that.
He was fairly healthy in the camp last year.
Yeah, and he just could not take the position over, and they gave him every chance.
See, Derek, here's the trick. I could see Pugh getting moved out to right tackle eventually if they feel like that's where they have the best offensive line unit. I could see that happening. And I would, like you, want to see Jeff Schwartz on the right side. I think that's where he's the most comfortable. He said that before.
Yeah.
So I'd like to have him at right guard. I think the question that you have to ask is John Jerry capable of playing left guard, or is he can only play right guard? That's a question I think that's yet to be answered.
But in my scenario, there was no John Jerry or Newhouse. So,
correct. Now, I hear you. Derek, I think that's a fair question. If they decide that Pugh is the right tackle and they want him at a right tackle this year, who that left guard is going to be, I think is a very interesting conundrum that they're going to have to figure out. Thanks for the call, pal.
I would add this to you, John. Based on what I saw last year, and I'm strictly going by one particular trait, John Jerry is one of the Giants' five best offensive linemen in pass protection.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
and that's the thing. That's why I'm not sure if you can play left guard, because the left guard has to pull and move a lot.
I know,
and that's not necessarily John Jerry's strength.
I'm not going to argue that, but he does have something to bring to the table. You know, John Jerry showed he could be productive in pass protection last year, and for that reason, plus the fact that he is a veteran and he has been here before and he has started a lot of games in his career, I certainly believe, and remember, they did bring him back, John. He was a free agent at the end of last season, and they re-signed him. I believe he's got a much better chance than not of making the team, and certainly, if not one of the starters, I wouldn't be shocked if he's the first guy coming off the bench, as long as it's inside. You don't want John Jerry playing tackle. Doesn't have the athleticism to do that.
I have my tweet of the week from at Black Caesar. Paul is showing off the legs today. Looks like they're also very tan. LOL.
They're going away.
In fairness, I did see Paul in the men's room spraying them down before we walked in.
Oh, so God. You've got to give these people a horrible impression.
You do live in Jersey. I hear spray tanning is very popular.
Oh, God.
No? Hello?
No.
Back to the phones at 201-939-4513.
The only thing fake around here is the artificial turf inside MetLife Stadium.
It's Chuckles in Portland, Maine. How are you, Charlie?
Hey, John. Hey, Paul. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Charlie. How are you?
Hiya.
Good. Hey, I got three things.
Okay.
One thing that you guys were just talking about, I think
Paul's
you could have
legs.
Seven wide receivers with a one special team guy like Davis by only keeping eight offensive linemen. The reason why I say eight is because there's always one or two offensive linemen that never get a shirt every week. So you could just keep eight, have them on the practice squad, and if somebody gets injured that week, you bring them up and the next week. So I you're saving a spot right there.
Charlie, let me just say
that guy anyway.
Let me stop you right there for 1 second and sure. Just say to you, there's not a coach in this league that wants to keep eight offensive linemen. They all want nine. Now, for one reason or another, maybe you'll find teams that do with eight, but they don't want to.
Paul, I will
say
this.
Trust me when I tell you.
I will say this. If, and again, this rarely happens, and I'm going to side slightly with Charlie here a little bit. If you get to the end of training camp and your top eight offensive linemen don't have any nicks and they're 100% healthy, I could see going with eight. I could see it. It wouldn't completely blow me away. Because, you know, if you go with nine, like you said, likely two guys are inactive every week.
Yeah, every week you don't use them. So you might as well have them on the practice squad and bring them up when you need them, you know. That's the way I look at it.
Those guys get so nicked up, though, during the course of games even. How many times in the last 5 years, John, have you seen guys have to change in and out during a game even?
I would have
Never mind week to week.
I'd have to look back to see how many games the Giants had 7/8 O-linemen active per game. I'm honestly not sure. I have to look.
I don't know. How many you have active.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you lose three guys, you still got three guys coming
here's
on your
the
bench.
Thing,
how many times do you lose three guys in a game?
Here's the thing you got to remember as well. Sometimes it's not about how many guys you have active on Sunday. Sometimes it's just that, guess what? He's a ill or a banged up deactivation. In other words, the guy's not sitting out, not getting a jersey because
he's on the DAC list because
he's hurt.
All right, I could buy
it's
that
not,
too.
You're not just That's scratching fair. Two offensive linemen or That's one fair. Offensive lineman because we don't want to play him. We don't have enough room. Usually they're dinged up.
All right, Charlie, point number two.
Okay, point number two. Paul, you were talking about that Washington didn't earn those reps that he got in spring.
Well, the reps he's had in the last month or so, no. Those were given to him by default, and he's making the most of them.
I disagree with you because there's 12 wide receivers on the team, and yeah, maybe Beckham was out and Cruz are out, but they could have given those spots to Harris. They could have given them to Hopper. They could have given them to Edwards. They could have given them to Davis, but they gave them to Washington.
Okay, and you know, you know why? Think of all the guys you just named, including Harris, who was here last year but was hurt for all the year. Washington had more practice reps last year than any of those guys you just mentioned. So there's a familiarity factor here. And so if no other reason, by default, because of his experience and knowledge of the offense, he's going to get the chance, first dibs, on first-team reps this spring. Now, what he does with them to keep them is the deal that you want to look at. I disagree with you entirely.
That's all. Okay.
They also could have given Tally the reps too. He's been around a long time.
Tally has hardly done anything here.
So, Charlie, I'll say this. I'm going to kind of bridge the gap between the two of you. I think Paul makes a good point. It's not as though Corey Washington has jumped over Reuben Randall or, you know, Victor Cruz or Odell Beckham. He hasn't done that. But you're right. Maybe he has shown the coaches that right now he's further along, whether it's because seniority, like Paul said, or another reason, he has shown he's further along than those other guys on the roster.
He should be.
And he should be. Absolutely right. Third point, Charlie.
All right. Third point is there was an article from Bleacher Report. They rated the GMs for, what they did
Here
this offseason. And Jerry Reese was number 29. So I just want to say, there you go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Charlie. People do these ratings all the time. I wonder if they had him ranked 29 after the second Super Bowl in 4 years back in 2011.
Quite frankly, how do you rank any GM about their offseason deal this season
until
the season's over?
Is that what the rank? I don't know what the
I don't know. I'm guessing this was a ranking that's just come out now for 2015. I'm not ranking anybody for 2015 until February. After I find out what the team did in 2015. You can't rank anybody right now.
Rankings based on 2015 offseason performance. That's what it was.
That is so illegitimate. That's a bogus list.
It's like grading a draft the day after the draft finishes.
It's
Which
like,
everyone also does, by the way.
It's like grading a starting pitcher in the third inning.
Yeah.
Did he give me a quality start? Well, guess what? It's only the third inning. How do you know?
201-939-4513. Charlie can get back to his alternate call center business, by the way. He can start taking some more of those customer service calls that apparently are coming into him. Let's go to Jason in Texas next. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, I think the Giants are going to stick with six wide receivers. They stick with, obviously, OBJ, Cruz, Randall, Harris, D. Harris, Washington, and Davis.
I
just think that Davis just has too much outside on special teams that they're not going to cut him.
I would say that is the most likely result. But I think you only listed five guys there, didn't you? You had Cruz, Beckham, Randall, Davis, Dwayne Harris, and who is your sixth guy?
Oh, Washington.
And Corey Washington's your sixth guy. Okay, I missed him. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I think that, and I frankly, if I had to do like my own little handicapping here, Jason, I think if I had to guess now, that would be the most likely group that I would pick for the top six now. Now, maybe that'll change once you get to camp and everything breaks down. But if I had to guess what six it was going to be now, those are the six that I would guess.
I mean, the Preston Parker would be tough to lose. I mean, he showed flashes, but he also showed that he wasn't on the same page as Eli last year. He had a lot of drop balls. So that's why I'm thinking he's not going to make it.
Well, look at it this way. Nobody outside of those top four have any claim to anything. They're all going to have to earn it snap after snap. Now, John's thought is, hey, Preston Parker at least has some type of resume, has some type of pelts on his belt.
They know what they have with him.
Right. So that he has something to stand on. Now, whether or not he gets beaten out, that's up for competition to decide. So I'm with you. I'm not giving him anything. He's got to win it.
Right. Well, that was my first thing, obviously, to try to stay on topic. But my second question is going to be about the Giants' secondary. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah.
Especially that slot corner. So what's going on with McBride?
Well, right now it looks like, I'm not going to say it's McBride's job to lose, but right now he is the first corner off the bench in their, you know, nickel package. He is their starting nickel, quote-unquote, in practice so far. And he's looked okay. I mean, look, everyone always asks me, these guys look great in, you know, OTAs and everything like that. Guys, and then Tom Coughlin said this in his press conference yesterday, and he was referencing the O-line, D-line specifically, but I'm going to expand it out to most of these positions. When you're not wearing pads and you can't have contact, what you're showing on the practice field in shorts and a T-shirt really doesn't mean a whole lot. And look, we can tell you this guy looks fast, this guy looks quick, that's great. And yeah, Tremaine McBride, I've seen him cover guys pretty well in the slot so far in this camp. And he has in the past as well. But until we see it in pads, and frankly, until he can prove that he can stay healthy, something he's had issues doing the last couple of years, I don't know what he's going to do. But if I had to guess right now, is he my starting slot corner week one? He's my starting slot corner week one.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, appreciate the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And, you know, Paul and I get those tweets all the time. How does this guy look in practice? How does this guy look in practice? I mean, as long as a guy can run without falling down. No, I mean, seriously. I mean, what else are you supposed to look at?
Boy, the bar's real high, isn't it?
No, but, Paul, what else are you supposed to look at? I mean, how are you supposed to, even if you're talking about skill position guys here, okay?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to judge how a corner plays against a wide receiver or a wide receiver plays against a corner
when you
can't bump and run?
He's right.
When you can't contact within 5 yards, how the hell are you supposed to know anything?
And quite honestly,
seriously,
it's a lot easier to catch the ball over the middle if you know you're not going to get hit.
That is 1,000,000%. Paul, seriously, how many great practice and training camp players have we seen here with the Giants and wide receiver? When all of a sudden, when they get into a game and they're looking over their shoulder and they're hearing the footsteps of that 220-pound safety coming downhill on them, they all of a sudden can't catch the ball.
Well, this is why what Corey Washington did last preseason was so impressive, John.
He did it in games.
And why, after coming out of Division II Newberry, he won a spot on the 53. Because in the preseason games, all he did was produce. And clearly, Tom Coughlin saw enough there, and this staff saw enough to decide, you know what? He's on the team. And great for him. Again, John's right, though. So many unanswered questions. Even Tom, I think somebody say to Tom yesterday, how difficult is it for you, given the status of how these practices are run, to either feel good or bad about your team?
He said that question? Very, very hard. I think Paul Schwartz asked that question.
Yeah.
Good question.
And he's like, that's the problem as a coach. You think you feel good about some things, but then you're not so sure, and you think you feel bad about some things, and you'd like to fix them, but it's like you're constantly twisting and turning about these things because you don't have any real answers. And that, you know, anyway.
201-939-4513. Bill in Phoenix has been holding the longest. Bill, what's going on?
Hi, how you doing?
Hi. Doing well, Bill. How are you?
Very good. Hey, I'd like to just say that I'm a Marcus Harris fan.
Okay.
I'm a big Marcus Harris fan, and basically, last year I believe he had the team made. When they before Beckham's injury, going to last few games, I thought he was a starter. He was a starter in back of Cruz and Randall. I thought he had that position sewed up. I thought he beat out Preston Pearson. And I further think that the guy has playmaker written all over him, that he just gets it. That when he was on that offense, he just fit. He seemed like he had the confidence of the players, the confidence of the team. He would make the third down play. He would get the separation. He just sort of fit in that team. So if you say that Victor Cruz is a lock if he gets back 100%, I'm wondering why Marcus Harris isn't getting more ink.
Well, I'll say this. I think, Bill, maybe it's a little strong to say he had a roster spot locked up and cinched up at any point in last training camp. At one point, did I think he was outperforming those other guys? Yeah, I do. And I think that was important. But I think to say he had a spot locked up might be a little strong.
Yeah, I'm with John on this. I do think he had a good chance, a very yes. good chance of making the 53.
I think until Corey Washington, and again, he got hurt, I believe, before Corey Washington blew up in those second and third preseason
yeah.
games. So it would have been interesting to see how Harris would have compared to Washington once Washington blew up in those preseason games.
You might have seen Corey Washington get waived and brought back on the practice squad had Harris been able to hold on
maybe
to a spot.
All right,
maybe.
Bill,
maybe.
Finish up. What do you got? Bill?
Hello, yes, I'm there.
Yeah, finish up.
I thought he was a playmaker. I thought Corey Washington, where he made some great plays, he was more of a situational guy that they went into third down. But I thought the Marcus Harris fit into the offense as an every down player.
Bill, I'm only going to add one thing to your comment. How great is it that you're worried about the fourth, fifth, and maybe, well, fifth and sixth positions on the receiving depth chart? How great is it that that's what you're concerned about? The Giants know who their top three and four guys are going to be.
Absolutely.
That's really good.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Okay.
Thanks. And you're here, and I don't want to, you know, rehash old news here, but this is why I didn't quite understand why a lot of Giant fans wanted to draft a wide receiver so badly in the first round this year. To me, the team is in very good shape at wide receiver. And I know we know a lot more about Victor Cruz now than we did then. I get that. And that's a big part of it. Get it. But this is why I thought drafting a wide receiver was adding a luxury to a position where you're already in pretty good shape.
John, I felt the same way, although, again, not to disparage the receivers who came out, because there were certainly some top-notch receivers.
I think Amari Cooper is going to be a monster this year.
And I understood that, and I absolutely understood that. But, there's enough here to get the job done at wide receiver. Trust me. I shouldn't say that, because how many times did I say that about corner the last 3 or 4 years? And then they all went down like flies. Oh, boy.
Got a good tweet here. Let me
what
see.
Do you got?
Where is it?
Good one or just an okay one?
No, this is a good one.
Okay.
Nicholas Megna at Nico 12561.
Yes.
Ranking a GM before a season even begins is like projecting the success of a marriage based off the honeymoon.
Wow.
That's a good one. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
Where'd you go on your honeymoon, Dots?
Where did I go?
Yeah.
Niagara Falls.
Oh, did you? I didn't know that.
It was an old-fashioned 1960s throwback. Went to Niagara Falls, which was the place to go.
Did you guys go on, like, the big barrel and go over the falls together?
I wanted to.
I'm sorry, you didn't try to power walk over the falls on, like, a you know, one of those wires that they use at the circus.
Like Willenda.
Yes. Yes. Like Nick Willenda. Correct.
He might
you just actually pulled out a pop culture reference. That might be the first ever for you on this show.
He
a non-football-related pop culture reference. I'm impressed.
He might be crazier than I am.
Maybe. A very, very high
just a
bar.
Little bit.
That's a high bar.
Yeah.
High bar.
Like this high wire.
All right, we got two more calls before we say goodbye. Let's go to Lennon, Columbia, Maryland next. Leonard, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. How you doing
Long
this morning?
No speak,
what's up,
Len? How are you?
Good, good. Real good. Staying on the wide receivers, I guess that's the topic of the day.
Yeah, kind of became
Although
that.
I am going to ask you if it's going to be okay in just a little bit, if I can change the subject.
Sure.
But let me say first, if I were a coach in the NFL, one of the 32 coaches in the NFL, I would want my sixth wide receiver to be a guy with the potential to be at least a number two somewhere down the line. I'm not looking at my sixth wide receiver as a guy who can play special teams. Now, John, you know, the shopping list that you gave us at the beginning of the show when you were lining up and, you know, you left Jeremy off the list and so forth.
Just, and that was just my fault. I just forgot. You know, that was my fault.
Yeah, just to get you back to that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at that shopping list, John, who of that group has the potential really to be a number two?
Well, you know, Len, and I think
it's only one guy.
Yeah, you know, Len, and I think you make a really good point, and I think the luxury of having a guy like Dwayne Harris and a guy like Davis who's willing to play specials is that you can roll the dice on a potential guy with that sixth spot because you have two other wide receivers that can play specials. I get where you're coming from, and I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, now let me say one more thing about the specials aspect of that number six guy. Yeah, if Coach says to him, go out there and, you know, be the gunner on this kickoff return, on the, you know, kick coverage. I mean, Corey Washington's going to go out there and do that. I mean, it's his job. He's going to get paid a lot of money each week. But let's not kid ourselves. 50%, 75% of the job of playing special teams, running down under kicks or blocking on kicks, you got to really want to do that.
You got to
want to be part of the train wreck.
Darn straight.
I'm not sure that's Corey Washington. I've seen a little bit of Corey Washington on special teams and read a little bit about Corey Washington and listened to this show about Corey Washington on special teams. We're not going to keep Corey Washington because he can play special teams.
That is a concern, Len. I'm not going to lie to you. That's a concern. Yeah. And the production merits that concern, or should I say lack thereof.
There you go.
But
the guy's got the potential to be that number two.
Okay.
And I like that in my sixth wide receiver.
But here's where you're inaccurate, though. And this is where, Len, you got to do the math. How many really good special teams players are you going to have on your team if you're telling me that your fifth and sixth receivers don't have to be? Where are you getting them from?
Not fifth and sixth.
All right. Well, even just the six. Where are you getting them from? You know, how many of your corner? Because really, usually the rule of thumb is this. I'm going old school on you again. Rule of thumb was your top four or five special teams guys are going to be wide receivers and defensive backs at the back of the depth chart, and then linebackers.
Linebackers.
That's where they're coming
absolutely.
From. So now, if you're going to tell me my number six receiver doesn't have to do specials, I need him to show potential as a receiver, that's one less guy I can use in the pool.
Now, in fairness, here's the help. You do have three linebackers on this team that should be very good special teams players this year. And Herzlich, if he makes it.
Casillas.
Thomas and Casillas.
Yeah. And hopefully, Michael Thompson.
Michael Thompson should be a special team reserve. All right, Len, what's your change of subject?
Okay, let me just say, while we're on special teams play, I want to make a comment about Dwayne Harris.
Yeah, real quick.
Okay? The more we begin to rely on Dwayne Harris to contribute from the line of scrimmage, the less we're going to see Dwayne Harris on special teams. Or you could say vice versa. The more we really rely on Dwayne Harris on special teams, to contribute on special teams, kick returns especially, the less we're going to see him from scrimmage. I mean, there's only a limited amount of plays that this guy's going to get on the field.
Len, I'm with you, and here's why I think this is important. That's why the number four receiver for the Giants, which is going to be Dwayne Harris, is almost as important to them as the number five. Because if you don't know what's going to be the deal with Cruz, okay?
Right.
Let's just say for argument's sake that he's PUP.
Right.
And it's going to be Randall and Beckham as your starters.
Yeah.
Now, what you would love to have is your number five receiver now become your three so that Harris can still be your four. I like seeing Harris in your four wide set.
Well, but
I don't want to see Harris in a lot of three wide sets.
But, Paul, what I think you're doing is making Len's case form. If you want to have one of your bottom two or three guys be a receiver first, then you have to keep a receiver and not necessarily a special
teamer. You're five, not your six.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter if you name Jeremy Davis your fifth and Washington your sixth, or Washington your fifth and Davis your sixth. What's the difference?
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you're going to keep five, now you can't have that luxury. If you're going to keep six, you can at least think about it.
Well, yes, that's
makes
fair.
A difference.
No, that's fair, yeah. And that's why I think they'll be very. That's why I think they're going to keep six.
You know, because here's the other thing, Len. I may also tell you this. Say this to you. There have been a lot of games where the Giants only dressed four or five, even if they had five or six on the 53.
Yeah.
They're scratching that last guy, and so guess what? I don't care. I don't care what you think about him. If that sixth receiver is getting scratched on Sunday, doesn't matter where he's playing because he's not getting the uniform.
Yeah, but you have that sixth guy on the roster
right,
in case one of your starters gets hurt.
Hey, can I make one point?
Yeah,
can I make
up.
One quick point about Eli?
Yeah, finish up, Len.
Okay. We got to get this guy. We got to settle this contract thing, this long-term contract thing with Eli before the start of training camp, or it's going to be a circus, guys. I mean, people are going to be analyzing every snap from scrimmage in terms of whether we should sign the guy long-term. Training camp, I mean, it'll start from the first play in training camp.
And, Len,
I mean,
I will say this.
I hope management sees this.
But
I
Len,
mean, it's going to be a distraction.
But, Len, here's the thing, and I realize people don't realize this, and you do. I know you do, but a lot of other fans and the media, for some reason, ignores it. The Giants virtually have Eli Manning under contract for 2 more years. They have him under contract this year, and they can make an exclusive rights franchise offer the following year. So they have him under their control for the next 2 years no matter what.
Right.
Correct.
Right. But people aren't going to see that at the start of training camp.
No, they're not. I
mean,
I know.
With the media coverage in New York, and you both guys, you know, you've both alluded to it in the past, it's going to be a media circus because everything's all looking through an interception. How can we give him a long-term contract? Or, you know, look
Len.
At that handle.
Len.
I mean, everything. Or he's going to complete 10 in a row, and everybody's going to say,
Len.
Oh, we got to sign it.
To be fair, these are the same people who are peppering JPP with the same questions all the way up until Christmas last season.
And by the way, Russell Wilson's getting the same questions in Seattle.
I mean, and you know what? And it was hysterical because I pulled JPP aside in November, and I said, you know, you're starting to get these questions. Don't any of these people understand? The Giants are going to franchise tag you. And he goes, and he laughed, and he goes, I know. He goes, but they want to ask me the question? I'm just going to sit here and laugh. And that's what he did for a month and a half.
Thank you, Len.
All right. Get him under contract.
Appreciate
it, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Final call of the show. We've got a very busy one today. Oh, no, we lost the final caller. All right, never mind. Excellent job on the phones today, everybody. We got about 3 minutes. Let's take a couple tweets here, Paul, see if anything news come in. Let's see what we got here. A lot of people thinking six. I've seen a lot of Preston Parker support on Twitter today, actually.
Let me just say one
names.
Thing.
Nana, Corey Washington is a big body wide receiver, not a special teams player, enough already. Well, that's the problem, Nana. You, as a player, you want to do as much as you can everywhere in order to help out. There's no reason why Corey Washington physically cannot contribute on special teams. There's nothing about him physically that says he can't be a special teams player. So if he can help himself in that way to make the team, that's only going to benefit him in the long term.
Yeah, and remember, you just don't have to be the guy making the tackle on specials, but you do have to have an impact in terms of funneling guys into the defensive coverage. I do want to mention one thing about Preston Parker. Okay, he did have some drops last year, yes, but I will tell you what they do like about him. He's tough. He is very very tough.
And that's what a lot of people say on here, too.
And he's not afraid to go across the middle. And so, you know, when you're talking about game action, I don't like to use the military term about live bullets flying around on Sunday. That's not something I like to use. But when it's all on the line and the fire is burning and you got to make that hard catch and you know you're going to get cracked, Preston Parker has shown that type of toughness that merits him consideration to be on an NFL roster. Whether or not you think he belongs on the Giants or they have guys who are better, absolutely that's open to debate. He's going to have to win a spot. But Preston Parker's done enough to say that he deserves a chance to be in the NFL.
Final question on this. Preston Parker, Corey Washington, Marcus Harris. In order, most likely to be able to slip onto the practice squad to the least likely to be able to slip onto the practice squad.
Practice squad? Well, Parker's not eligible for practice squad.
Correct.
Could
Parker make it on the new rules or no?
I don't think so.
He's been in the league too long, right?
Yeah.
Harris could make it on for sure. And I think Washington could make it on based on the extended rules from last year.
I think he might be eligible. I'm not, John, I you know what? I got to refresh
myself.
Honestly,
I'm not sure either, but I think based on the old rules, he wouldn't be.
Based on the new
Correct.
Rules last year, I think you can get him on. I'm not sure. All right, fine. So assuming both guys are eligible,
you
which I'm
what?
Not sure they are,
if
Harris
I'm
or Washington, who's more likely to be able to get onto that practice squad?
Harris.
I agree with you. And will that be the difference?
Corey Washington caught a touchdown pass in each one of the preseason games
everyone,
last year.
Everyone has seen him. And,
by the way, the one in Buffalo was a nationally televised game, a Hall of Fame game, yep. which is whereby, you know, most people started to catch wind of, oh, Corey Washington, look at this guy. he's not an unknown anymore. Anyway.
And then Nana also says, Bruce Arians said it best as a head coach, you never ask a player to do something he isn't good at because that's called bad coaching. Nana, if you're a young player, you ask them to expand their games. I mean, Corey Washington, a rookie player, what, just because he's not good at special teams and he walks in the door, you're not going to try to improve in that area? Now, if after a year or two you see that he can't do it, you don't put him out there to fail to hurt your team, obviously, but you have to try to work him into that position. Bottom half of the roster players, part of the job description is playing special teams. It's just how it goes. It's hard to fit on your roster with the limitations there are in terms of numbers, players at the end of the roster that can't play special teams. It's just hard from a numbers games perspective to do that. I understand where you're coming from. And look, you're right. Corey Washington is a big body wide receiver, and down the road his future is as a pass catcher. He's not going to be, some Steve Tasker special teams ace. No one's asking him to be that player. But to say he can't learn and work to be a guy you can put on your, punt protection team as the guy in the edge, he should be a guy that can do something like
Let
that.
Let me make something very clear to Nana out there, and I'm not trying to be wise with you at all, but Dominic Hixon, when he came out of Akron, if he didn't have an injury in college, was viewed as a second-round skill set wide receiver. But he had an injury in college. He dropped down. The Broncos took him, and he became a special teams player and could not see a snap from scrimmage. Because his only way of making the Broncos and staying in the NFL was to be on special teams. So what did he do? He became a really good special teams player, got involved in an unfortunate hit where a player got injured as the result of one of his hits. It kind of fussed with his head a little bit. He started questioning himself as a football player, got cut,
yep.
picked up by the Giants, who then rebuilt his confidence as a special teams player, and then lo and behold, because of his development and injuries, he became an important part of the Giants' wide receiver rotation. Great example of why your philosophy does not work, because Dominic Hixon proved through special teams that he deserved a spot in the NFL, and then he was able to prove he deserved a spot in an NFL offense because he was a good special teams player. And you know what? If you don't believe that story, maybe you could get a hold of David Tyree sometime when he's around the facility and talk to David Tyree about how special teams won him a spot in the NFL.
And Jeremy Davis has that attitude, too. He didn't play special teams in college, but he understands that that's going to get him a roster spot, so it's important to improve in that area.
And those are the facts, okay? I'm not trying to be wise to you, but those are the facts. That's how it happens in this league.
Bottom of the roster guys, young guys, you got to play special teams. It's just the way it works.
And sometimes it's that simple, that the special teams is a way for you to buy time
yeah.
or show your development to coaches so that you can then be part of a regular
yeah.
situation
yeah.
later on.
Out of a Division II program like Corey Washington, who was very raw coming in, he's not going to come in and play 50 snaps as a wide receiver right away. He's not ready.
He now knows that.
And he does know that. He said that to us yesterday.
Absolutely.
So he gets that, and that's why special teams, as Paul said, buys you time to develop as a wide receiver to eventually apply your trade in that way. It gives you value on the roster to keep you on it. Paul, we're out of time.
That's it.
All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. Well, excellent job today on the phones. We had a lot of fun. I'll be back with you tomorrow on Giants.com for another episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Two more OTAs, actually three if you count today's, which just ended probably about 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
And then next week, mandatory minicamp. We'll have coverage right here on Giants.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.